the fact that they are not actually complying with any of these subpoenas and are protesting loudly. So I'm definitely pessimistic on the Shield bill, as Matthew is as well.
And Matthew Cooper, very quickly, what happens next now that the Supreme Court has turned down the case of James Risen?
Well, I think it'll be the same as in my case, which is it goes back to the original district court where that heard the case and ruled against him, and the prosecutor will then have to ask, for some kind of penalty for Risen not appearing, and that'll be the big question. Will he say, let's just hold off and we'll hold on and not do anything, in which case Risen won't go to...
We're going to have to leave it there. Matthew Cooper and Trevor Tim, thanks so much for joining us. That does it for the broadcast. I'm Amy Goodman with Aaron Maté. Our website is democracynow.org.
You are listening to KBOO Portland, where the time is now 8:01. Coming up next is the Abe and Joe Talk Radio Show with our hosts Abe Proctor and Joe Uris. Today we'll talk about the role of misogyny in the latest mass shooting, and we'll take calls from women only.
KBOO Community Radio is proud to co-sponsor Voices on the Ground, Resistance and Resilience, Friday and Saturday, June 6th and 7th at Portland State University. The keynote speaker will be Sherry Hunkala, a national activist in anti-poverty movements and co-founder of the Kensington Welfare Rights Union and the Poor People's Economic Human Rights. This two-day conference will focus on areas of human rights, criminalization, and pathologizing of identities and experiences, revolutionary tools, and more. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
What's the call? Free and war.
KBOO Community Radio is proud to co-sponsor Free 'Em All, a benefit to support political prisoners, on Saturday, June 14th at 7 p.m. at the Portland State University Smith Memorial Ballroom. Free 'Em All is an evening of music, dance, spoken word, and political remix featuring David Rovex, international folk singer-songwriter, and emceed by KBOO's own Mike Crenshaw. Again, that's Free 'Em All, a benefit to support political prisoners on Saturday, June 14th, 7 p.m. at Portland State University Smith Memorial Ballroom. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
This KBOO program has been made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from the 27th Safeway Waterfront Blues Festival, July 3rd through 6th at Waterfront Park, which benefits Oregon Food Bank and features Greg Allman, Boz Skaggs, Los Lobos, Maceo Parker, Bombino, Charlie Musselwhite, Ivan Neville's Dumpstuff Funk, and many more. Information, complete schedule, and pass information at waterfrontbluesfest.com. This KBOO program has been also made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Aladdin Theater, presenting Moody Blues guitarist Justin Hayward with Mike Dawes Tuesday, June 10th. Tickets and information for Justin Hayward, June 10th at Aladdin-Theater.com.
We know. know what everybody likes at the Abe and Joe Talk Radio Show.
Stereotype City. All right.
No, I'm only stereotyping everyone.
No. Just the interrelations between men and women. KBOO 90.7 on the FM dial here in Portland. This is the Abe and Joe Talk Radio Show. And we want to ask a couple things. 3-minute calls today. Mm-hmm. And today exclusively on air, women only. Men can what can they do?
Well, men can just sit there.
They can just sit there and steam. No. What are they?
Okay. Well, first of all, let's set the table here a little bit.
All right.
A couple of weeks ago, yet another mass shooting in the United States. Big yawn. Big collective yawn emanates across the land.
It was pretty weird. Pretty weird.
There's a conversation to be had about how common this has become, such that people can say things like I just said, yet another mass shooting.
Yet another.
That deserves a conversation in and of itself. But there's a particular aspect to this shooting that we want to focus on today. A young man named Elliot Roger shot up the college town of Isla Vista, California, which is adjacent to the University of California, Santa Barbara. First, he stabbed some people at his apartment building. Then he went on a drive-by shooting rampage through the streets of the town.
And he tried to get into a sorority.
He did. He tried to get into a sorority.
But they don't let guys into sororities.
No, they don't. What seems to be peculiar about this particular mass shooting is to the extent to which Mr. Rogers' actions were motivated by his hatred of women. His hatred of women. He left a manifesto online. A long, long written document and a series of YouTube videos explaining exactly why he felt the way he did, exactly what he was going to do about it, and how much pleasure he would derive from doing it.
Well, because they collectively, all women, didn't seem to find him sexually desirable.
Right. And further, all women collectively didn't give him the sex that he was entitled to as a man.
Yeah, well...
Right. So we're gonna dig into that a little bit today, and that's why we're only taking calls from women today. However, this conversation would not be complete, I think, without the input of men. So we're allowing two avenues to do that. What you can do if you are a Y chromosome having American and you want to contribute to today's conversation, you can leave comments in one or two or both of these following places. The first is on the official Abe and Joe show page at kboo.fm/TheAbeAndJoeTalkRadioShow. That's kboo.fm/TheAbeAndJoeTalkRadioShow. Or you can leave comments on the Abe and Joe Facebook page, which is at facebook.com/AbeAndJoe. So if you got a Y chromosome, that's what you got to do today if you want to take part in this conversation.
Okay, and I just want to make a public announcement not relevant to our topic.
Oh, of course you do.
I do. I want.
All right. Well, then you can leave a comment on the Abe and Joe Facebook page.
All right. There's going to be an event, a concert, and organizational event, Free 'Em All, a benefit for political prisoners, this Saturday, June 14th, from 7 to 9 p.m. at Portland State, at the Portland State University North Memorial Student Union Building. And actually, it's an event which is going to include Mike Crenshaw, who's a great rapper, who happens to be one of our two managers here.
Cool guy.
And David Robix, who's also very cool. So this is an event where, No, why did I think that? Never mind, June 14th, not this Saturday. I'll repeat this again. I'm not together today because I just don't know what's the matter with me.
Well, that's could be an entire talk show in and of itself.
No, I don't think anyone cares to know what's the matter with me. But we do want to hear from women, and we do think this is really an important issue, very seriously. And you'll probably want to... really delve into this deeply, Abe. I have a bunch of stats here and stuff that'll depress everybody.
Okay, well let's save those for a little
save
while.
Save the stats.
God
for a save
while.
The stats.
Elliot Roger, the murderer of Isla Vista, California, was 22 years old. He took his own life after his rampage. By the way,
yeah, he had a nice car. I noticed he had a Beamer.
Yes, he was a pretty good looking, articulate young man who came from money. And I say these things because I say these things because out there in the world, that can often be enough to get you some sex if sex is what you're after. To be a reasonably good-looking guy, articulate with money, that will often do the trick.
I'm not going there.
Okay. Nevertheless, he found himself not getting the female attention to which he thought he was entitled.
I think he was a creep, and I'm going to let it go at that.
Oh, he's absolutely a creep. But here's what makes this whole thing interesting from this perspective. He left a trail. He left a series of internet documents, both video and in writing, that explain exactly where he was coming from, what his worldview was vis-a-vis women, and what he intended to do and why. I'm just going to read from the beginning of his manifesto, which you can find to which you can find a link on our show page. My Twisted World, The Story of Elliot Rodger by Elliot Rodger. The introduction reads, humanity, all of my suffering on this world has been at the hands of humanity, particularly women. It has made me realize just how brutal and twisted humanity is as a species. All I ever wanted was to fit in and live a happy life amongst humanity, but I was cast out and rejected, forced to endure an existence of loneliness and insignificance, all because the females of the human species were incapable of seeing the value in me.
So in other words, he got mad because he couldn't get laid.
Yes, he did. He did, but he chose a remedy that ultimately was horrific. But he also sought solace in an online community sort of collectively known as either the men's rights movement or the pickup artist community, in which he could commiserate with men who felt similarly. And I'm not going to do some of these websites the honor of telling you what they are, how to find them, but you can do so easily enough with the Google. These are hateful places, full of seething resentment against women whose job seemingly it is to provide men with sex because they are men and they deserve it. The level of objectification in this community is astounding. It reduces women entirely to their functions as decoration or as vessels of male gratification. It is a horrible and limiting way to look at more than half of humanity. And I'm not saying that misogyny made this man kill people, but misogyny was, you heard it in the first paragraph of his manifesto. The defining factor in his worldview was how much he hated women, how much they had forsaken him, and how meaningless his life was as a result. That's what we're looking at here.
Well, and I, you know, we already have some callers on this.
Yes.
And I have some stats, but I'll hold back on the stats.
Okay.
After we get a few calls here.
Okay, now what?
Women only.
Women only today.
Three minutes.
Now, something very interesting happened here. And like I said, we've had so many mass shootings that they become almost like white noise in the background. Every time one happens, there's an outpouring of grief at the tragedy, collective recoiling and horror at how awful this is, speculation on what could drive a person to commit acts like this.
And teddy bears.
And inevitably, the discussion turns to just how sick, just how mentally ill these mass murderers must be. I don't think that's particularly helpful to these conversations. Obviously, somebody who's willing to go to such lengths is not a sane person. I think we can accept that as a given. So the discussion around Elliot Rodger also started shifting in this direction. What a sicko, what a crazy guy, what a madman. But then there was this element of misogyny to everything he did and how he saw the world. And something really interesting happened. That conversation did not go away. There was the creation of a hashtag on Twitter, a hashtag Yes All Women, and some astounding things were written there. These were women talking about what it means to live in a misogynistic culture and what they have to deal with each and every day simply because they are women. Now, I encourage you all to go just spend 5 minutes, 10 minutes reading these tweets on hashtag Yes All Women. It's an eye opener, to be sure. And every man who lives on this earth, particularly white men here in the United States, owe it to themselves to find out what's going on. Because I will wager that your male privilege, and let's put that right out on the table now. Most of this is a male privilege world, particularly a white privileged world. And I would wager that most white guys go through life completely unaware of the extent of their privilege, and even more unaware the extent to which it impacts the lives of women and the garbage and the baggage that women have to deal with every single day simply because they are not part of that privileged class.
Well, I don't agree with you.
You disagree with me.
I do. I think you've used the word white wrongly. I think this is more universal than that. I think this is, you can see this behavior in Africa right now.
Sure.
With genital mutilation, with kidnapping, with violence, with rape as a weapon
of
war.
You're right. You're absolutely right.
You can see in India the case that has created, all women, with the murder of two untouchable young women who went outside to relieve themselves. Remember, there's no toilets hardly at all in India, and who were then kidnapped, raped, and then murdered. And this really outraged a lot of people. So this is a universal phenomenon. Women are held down by terror. Women are held down by custom. Women are held down by education. In the Islamic world, women are considered irrelevant to knowledge and to power in many, many cultures there. The same is true to some degree in the Christian world. So I don't see it as a case of a white male privilege. I see it as a case of male privilege.
All right. I'll clap to that.
Sure. So it's transcultural and it's universal and it's really weird.
Yes. Yeah. Now this is a problem, and I think it's exacerbated in online spaces where people feel that the mask of anonymity gives them a certain carte blanche to really say some hateful and horrible things. There's a couple prominent feminists whose work I read on a regular basis, and some of the comments left in response to their writing by men are, I mean, it's really hateful stuff. I mean, there are threats of violence. There are threats of rape. There's all sorts of things that are said that are not said in response to men who, to write something and put it out there for the world to read. This is completely a different species of response, and it has everything to do with the fact that the people making noise, the people making a statement, happen to be women. Now, I want to read a few of these Yes All Women tweets that you can find on Twitter. Yes,
well, can you find that on a regular email? Google?
Yeah, just Google hashtag, that's a little number sign.
Ah, yes.
Yes All Women, one word. Hashtag Yes All Women. Because, and I'm reading some of these tweets now, because when a girl is harassed or even groped by a stranger in public, we're told to take it as a compliment. Yes, all women, because I don't want my 8-year-old daughter growing up in a world where boys will be boys, a.k.a. abusers, rapists, misogynists, etc. Yes, all women, because we live in a society where men are taught to internalize misogynistic behavior and women are taught to expect it. You teach your daughters how to protect themselves, but don't teach your sons about consent. Yes, all women. Yes, all women, because some people are blaming women and giving sympathy to a boy who killed 6 people. If you don't view sexism as a problem, think about the 230 Nigerian women who are kidnapped just for getting an education. Yes, all women. This conversation is not going away. And I, for one, am grateful that it's happening on the scale that it's happening. It's long past due.
Well, I think it's sad that it's necessary. I certainly agree with you that I'm really glad that this movement has caught fire. It took the murder of 2 innocent young women in India to ignite this fire.
Yeah.
So that's in a way discouraging, but in a way hopeful. Can I tell a story?
Yeah.
I want to tell a story about Portland State University back in 1965.
Okay. Let's make it a quick story because I think we're going to have some calls
here. Well, a long time ago.
Right.
I was at a party supposedly by the Sociology Club at Portland State, and the party got very crazy. But at one point, walking across a hall, I came upon a guy who had pushed a woman against a wall and was thrusting his hands up toward her groin inside her dress despite her protests. And clearly, she didn't know him, didn't like it, didn't want it. But nobody was paying any attention. I interrupted him. I got very angry, in part because I knew the woman and I knew her partner, but also in part because it was so outrageous. And I found myself confronting this guy. And at one point, I was really mad. I said, somebody should cut your
junk
off. And apparently, he felt very, very humiliated. I actually got called into the dean's office because allegedly I threatened him with a knife. I said, no, I just said I'd cut it off. I didn't show any weapon. Anyway, years later, after a presentation of a Penny Allen film that was a party, we're talking like 30, 40 years later, this guy who I didn't even recognize came up to me and was whining and complaining about how I'd humiliated him and how he would like to get me. And, it's really weird. Gus Van Sant was sitting there watching this, and I'm thinking, who the hell is this guy? I had no memory of the guy. And it took me a long, long time to realize that was the guy. And I did indeed humiliate him, and he did indeed deserve it. But he was still self-righteous. The whole time, both in the discussion with me when I confronted him, and then, years later, he said, I didn't know she was your girl.
Right.
You get it?
Because why else would you intervene?
Well, right.
Because she was your property.
She was my property, and he was messing with my property.
Right.
Which, of course, was not the case in any sense. And it was just, I felt just so dismayed and discombobulated and discomforted and weirded out by the whole experience. And I put this in the context of what we're talking about, because it is, I think, typical. Very typical.
Yeah. Yes, I would agree. Let's go to the phones.
Okay.
Good morning. Red Willow, you're on the air.
Good morning. I'm so happy that you're having this conversation. And I think that the mass murder from the young man, I think it's a reflection of our rape culture. It actually put it out there for everyone to be able to point to and saying, yes, even though this guy is mentally ill, that he is carrying the standard for men, essentially, what they really feel towards women. And not all men, but yes, all women do have to deal with the few that have that attitude. And I've had so many experiences that make me, right now I'm just fed up to yawn with the attacks on women, the girls being kidnapped, and the world essentially going, yes, and your point is. I'm tired of that. Mm-hmm. I'm tired of having had the male's entitlement affect my entire life. I'm a rape survivor, but that's not just it. It wasn't just that act, although I feel like that act was pushed forward because I declined to go out with this gentleman, with this man.
Yeah, I wouldn't call him a gentleman.
I wouldn't either, but I was just trying to be kind.
Yes.
But I don't know exactly who this man was. He covered my face, broke into my apartment, cut my phone lines when I was a co-ed down in Oklahoma.
Wow.
Yeah, and so, but I did see him later at a job that I worked at as a cocktail waitress. It was after, he asked me out. I indicated that I wasn't interested, and then I was raped. I don't know it was this guy, but when I saw him later, he seemed as if I had shined a light on him. He seemed terrified to see me. So it's just the intuition that I think it was this guy that I refused to go out with, but I don't know for sure. But the same place that I was a cocktail waitress at, when I saw this gentleman after he raped me, if it was him, allegedly, I was fired from that job because I would not give head to the boss there. Okay, so that was just another form of being, victimized by this misogyny, this attitude of entitlement. And then there was another job I had where the boss comes on to me, and it was obvious, he wanted to give me massages on my back because of the hard work I was doing and blah, blah, blah. And so I took that case over, that harassment. I thought, well, I'm going to go get some legal advice. The legal advice that I got was he wanted to help me in the same way.
Okay, these are the litany of stories you're telling us are typical, and I appreciate your sharing with us. I want to give others the opportunity, though.
Okay.
And I certainly understand your outrage.
Yes, and I think that it is just ongoing. I would like to hear more men process this entitlement issue. I'd like to hear men talk it through to where they come to that light bulb moment of, oh, you know what? That's not right.
Yeah, I keep waiting for capitalists to do the same. And really, both the two, I think the two have a certain linkage about power. And I do thank you for the call. I want to give others a chance, though, okay?
Sure.
And remember, we're looking for women only.
She mentioned the term rape culture.
Yeah.
And the implication in the use of that term is that this sort of behavior is far more widespread than many people might realize, or many men in particular might realize. And you have some statistics on that, right?
Well, I do. As a matter of fact, it just so happens, by coincidence, before we decided to do this, that the op-ed section of the New York Times on Monday had a piece by Charles Blow, who's, I think, a very good columnist.
I agree.
And he, just putting some statistics out front, according to a 2013 global review of available data, 35% of women worldwide have experienced intimate partner violence or non-partner sexual violence. 70% of women have experienced violence in their lifetime from an intimate partner. Between 40 and 70% of murdered women is intimate partner stuff. 140 million women are genitally mutilated in Africa and elsewhere,
mm-hmm.
Which is a control, I believe, is a control mechanism instituted long, long ago, but which is maintained, ironically, in the women's culture of a lot of places in Africa. In the United States, 83% of girls ages 12 to 16 have experienced some form of sexual harassment in a public situation. I mean, these are just statistics pulled. There's many, many others. But this is what we're talking about, and this is about power. And it's about privilege.
Power.
And
yes.
I think it mirrors the way in which power relations exist outside of the world of sexuality, in the world of the military, in the world of the industrial ruling class. These are all symptoms of the same, not the same power relations in the sense that one is about money and one is about not having money, but rather that power is the key element here. And the desires of individuals to accomplish whatever it is they want to accomplish, regardless of the feelings, the needs, and the interests of the opposite sex. That's all.
Okay. I want to remind people that this is KBOO 90.7 FM. This is the Abe and Joe Talk Radio Show. We're talking about misogyny today, and the subtext, or actually maybe a lot more than subtext, that it provided for the latest mass shooting in the United States, the one that happened a couple weeks ago in Santa Barbara, California. We are taking calls only from women today. If you are a man and you want to comment, you can do so in one of two places at our Facebook page, www.facebook.com/Abe and Joe. And while you're there, click the like button, because we don't know if people like us, and you know, unless they click little symbols on the internet. Or you can leave comments at our official show page, which is kboo.fm/the Abe and Joe Talk Radio Show.
I don't care if they like me or not.
I know you don't.
I don't care.
All right, who's next, Steve? Marion, good morning.
Yeah. So I'm kind of on the opposite side of this issue, and I would like to give some statistics of my own.
Sure.
Okay.
And well, now, when you say you're on the opposite side of the issue, what do you mean by that?
I am really sick of this bitching and moaning about how women are victimized and men are not, men are privileged and all this stuff. So here's my statistics. And
go ahead.
Okay. I found this out in the criminology class that I took at PSU a couple of years ago, but I've known that for a long time. 80% of the victims of violent crime are male, 20% are female. And that, yes, that includes domestic violence, and no, it is not based only on the crimes that are reported. It's based on something called the National Crime Victims Survey, which is conducted by surveying companies that know how to do this stuff.
Now, when you provide us that statistic, I'm wondering what you're getting at. Are you suggesting that the men are the victims of violent crimes perpetrated by women or by other men?
Well, it's true that more perpetrators are men. But that doesn't help you when you're a victim. You know, who cares who's done it to you? I mean, you're hurting.
Well,
you know?
I think in the context of sexual violence, it matters very much.
Well, it does, but then that's another of my complaints about. It's like these women who bitch and moan about this, it's like, if it's not sexual violence, it doesn't count. I'm sorry, but, you know, if you're paralyzed for life, it doesn't care that you
I don't know that anybody is making that claim.
Well, I hear it. It's implied in a lot of what I hear women talking about. And the other thing that I'm tired of, frankly, is you guys taking on these feminist issues. You know, you don't have to feel guilty about being male.
I don't.
Okay. Well, I think you do. I hear it a lot. You know, I would rather...
You look guilty to me, Abe. Yeah, well, I mean, I'm looking
guilty
at your
of many
shirt.
Things, but
don't
I don't
you like
feel guilty
soccer
for being
and,
male.
You know, you're guilty.
Yeah.
No, I'm just really... Yeah, life is tough in different ways, and I have suffered sexual harassment and sexual assault. It's part of being female in this culture, and it's, you know, I'm not going to...
Well, apparently it's part of being female in every culture.
And not only among human beings. As a matter of fact, if you look at animal societies, that's true there also. When you actually have to actually send women researchers
well,
out...
Well, wait, I have to ask you a question. You're saying you're tired of hearing this stuff... You acknowledge that it exists.
Yes.
What exactly is your, brief against our talking about this? I'm not clear.
Well, it's not just times. I mean, so many times you guys have these issues about of women's issues on your show.
Really?
And quite often.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Oh,
I mean,
okay.
It's good that you're concerned about women's issues, but I just really get the impression that you want to kind of. I don't know. Assure women that you're on our side or something. You know, I'm just like, I'm tired of hearing it from you guys.
Oh, okay. You know? Listen, I want to give others an opportunity. I appreciate your position. We're going to go to some other people, women.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you for the call.
Yeah, sure.
231-8187.
Where to begin? Do I feel guilty about being a man? No.
Well, are you feeling defensive now?
No, I'm not.
Oh, okay. Just checking.
No, I'm not. But that's... I would wager that she's probably not the only listener who to have that thought cross her mind. No, I don't feel guilty for being a man. However, the dynamic that has governed our society, and as you pointed out, virtually every human society on Earth, subjects women to a daily barrage of stuff that men don't have to deal with.
Well, I think that it's a little more complicated than that, but go ahead.
Okay. The great blessing and curse of being a man is that you walk through the world wanting to fling your genetic material out into the world, into as many places as you can get it. Basically, you want to get laid. And this is true of women as well. But speaking as a man, you go out there and this is what you want. And you act on certain visual cues. And those visual cues may drive certain men to say things to certain women that may or may not be acceptable, respectful, or any number of things. Now, am I saying that you, as a man, can't go out there and...
hit on women?
And hit on women? Yeah, I'm saying that you can. I think it's all about how you do it. I think it's all about paying...
So if you have a slicker approach,
no,
it's okay?
No, not a slicker approach. But there's a difference between going, you know, hey, baby, nice whatever, to somebody you've never met before.
Right.
And
opposed to saying, hi, my name
is... Say, hi, my name is so, or, you know, you look fantastic tonight, or something like that.
So you're objecting to the style of the approach.
It's not just about style. It's about whether or not you feel entitled to, first of all, say such things, or you feel entitled, perhaps more importantly, to get sex just because you're a dude.
Well,
newsflash, you're not entitled to get sex just because you're a dude.
Yeah, I agree, but I there's another aspect to this which has nothing to do with women, which is the transition that boys make to manhood, in which, I don't know if this is still true, but when I was a young adolescent, there was absolute terror that you would not be perceived as masculine enough, that you would be identified as queer. And this was a trip. It was a serious trip. And people would have fist fights, knife fights, whatever, to prove their masculinity in that context.
Oh, well, certainly. Certainly.
And you experienced that probably in California when you were...
I did.
Okay.
I did, yes. And there's also the extent to which, as a man, you are granted certain status by other men based on how much sex you're able to have.
Or how many people you're able to bruise.
Sure.
No, I'm suggesting that this is a more profound issue than simply the. First of all, it's very profound that women are classically in all cultures held down by violence of this sort. But also, it's important to understand that the male culture per se also attacks men in terms of defining what constitutes appropriate male behavior, which mostly is aggressive.
Certainly. But I'm also saying...
I mean, you're a soccer fan, man.
I am a soccer fan. Oh, certainly.
Yes.
I'm also saying you needn't feel guilty if you're a man and you're out there in the world and, you know, you want to get some.
Oh,
I think that's all right.
Where are you going?
Okay. I don't know.
All right, 231-8187. Why don't you read that stuff and think about it?
Coming up this morning on KBOO at 9 on Alternative Radio, investigative journalist David K. Johnson speaks on societal impact of inequality.
He's great.
He is great. Pulitzer Prize winning great. At 10, it's Air Cascadia, headlines, interviews, and commentary with Chris Andre. At 10:15 on Flashpoints, reaction to Secretary of State John Kerry's advice to Edward Snowden to man up.
Another example of what we're talking about.
Also,
John Kerry, once a brave man, now a chicken.
Also, Matt Rothschild of The Progressive on the Supreme Court's denial of New York Times reporter James Risen's First Amendment rights not to reveal confidential sources. And does Obama's war on coal really mean anything? At 11 on stage, the studio host D. May Roberts talks with acclaimed author Lisa C., whose new book, China Dolls, features the era of the Asian American nightclubs during the 1930s to 50s. And at 11:30 on Art Focus, host Joseph Gallivan interviews Janelle Baglian of Studio Art Direct. She curates art on a large scale for hospitals, offices, and hotels. All this and more coming up today on KBOO.
Okay, my point was, just to be clear, mm-hmm. there is a male culture, cross-culturally universal, mm-hmm. virtually universal, which privileges males and holds women in disrespect and underneath the power of men, and that this universal has existed. You look at the Bible; it's in the Bible. You look at the Quran; it's in the Quran. It's really universal.
Sure.
And this is something that is a process that leads to an enormous degree of misery and violence, and needs to be. Deconstructed and gotten rid of, I think.
Well, indeed. And viewed on a larger scale, as you're doing, things are comparatively good here in the United States.
Comparatively?
Comparatively. Yes, they are.
And yet we have a statistic where young women, I mean really young women, get hit on inappropriately. According to this, it's 83% of young women. I mean, that's creepy.
Mm. So to reiterate the point I was making just a minute ago, you're not entitled to sex simply because you're a dude. women are not prizes to be won. They are not entitled to give you anything just because you're a dude. Even if you treat them well and nothing. It's sex is something that's freely given between equals. If you want to get laid and you're a dude, then you need to be distinctive. You need to be interesting. You need to have a talent. You need to stand
out. Now you're going into a place where how to seduce women?
No. I'm saying if you want people to be interested in you, be interesting. This guy complained because he seemed to believe that because he was an articulate, relatively good-looking, rich guy,
With a beamer,
that women would be lining up to sleep with him. They were not, and he was very, very bitter about that. He expressed this bitterness in places on the internet where such people find companionship. And then he went out and killed some people.
Yes.
All right, let's go back to the phones. Susan, good morning.
Good morning. I don't even know where to start here. This is a really interesting discussion, but if I could, I'd like to take a decidedly different
sure.
point of view on it, and I want to pick up particularly on the young man who did all these horrible things in Santa Barbara. Mm-hmm. I'm a former mental health nurse, and so I'm really looking at this whole thing rather not from a sociologic point of view, but from a psychiatric point of view. And what we do know about him, if the reports in the press are to be believed, is that he was schizophrenic. His mother even talked about him having heard voices and all of these things. I've taken care of many people in my professional life who suffer from schizophrenia, and I have a family member who was schizophrenic during her life. And so I think the point here to get to what you called, Abe, as your subtext story today, is that much, if not all, of what he said cannot be taken rationally. You cannot take what he said rationally, because people who suffer from this horrible disease are really driven by very irrational thoughts and that don't make any sense to the rest of us. I suspect that he was an adolescent going through his normal psychosexual development like all adolescents do. In his case, he was heterosexual and perceived some either real or imagined rebuffs from women, and in terms of his psychotic thinking, had to make some sense out of those. So these misogynistic websites that you've referred to were really an outlet for him to try to find an explanation for why this happened. But always in the context of his very deluded thinking.
But you don't think that there's a cultural aspect to this kind of schizophrenic behavior?
I do, but I was talking about the subtext that Abe was describing, and I agree that there are many men who think about this. There, to move on to a larger point of view, the psychology of prejudice or the psychology of discrimination often but not always has to do with a person feeling inadequate and then in turn finding another individual or another group of people whom that inadequately feeling person sees as lesser in order to empower him or herself. And that's true all over the world, and that probably to a very large extent explains some of the horrible things that we see in India and other subcultures where much of this sexual violence is among people who are very poor and who feel very powerless within the context of their own cultures. But I really want to emphasize here that I think in the case of this young man that his attraction to these websites must be looked at in the context of his whole deluded thinking. And to me, the really tragedy of this whole thing is that there were signs, his parents perceived signs, his therapist perceived signs, but there was nothing in place that would allow him to be taken in for an examination on an involuntary hold. And that is the piece of it, I think, that really needs to be cleaned up. There are millions of people who are schizophrenic, and a very tiny fraction of people act out the way this guy did. But I'm not at all disagreeing with your issues about misogyny, but I'm saying that to make this guy a kind of the standard bearer for misogyny, I think really understates and does not really get around the fact that the basic problem with him was his serious mental illness. And that's what really stood out to me.
Okay. Well, I would say a couple of things to that. First of all, we stipulated to his mental illness at the top of the show. Mm-hmm. Obviously, nobody's going to go on a killing spree who is a sane and well-adjusted person. However, the point we're trying to make and the subtext to which I was referring is the misogyny that permeates our culture on so many levels.
And I argue that it permeates all cultures.
All cultures on so many levels. Obviously, not every misogynist is going to express those feelings by going on a killing spree. That's obviously not going to happen. This guy did, and what his killing spree did was to throw a spotlight on some of these issues. And through a variety of media, lots and lots of women, millions literally, have come forward with very revealing statements about the sorts of things that they encounter and they experience every day on a regular basis in this culture and beyond. That's the subtext I'm talking about. I'm not insinuating that every misogynist is a mass murderer. No. But this is there, and it certainly informed this guy's worldview.
Well, I take issue with you.
Thank you very much for the call, by the way.
I think it's important to understand the power relations involved, that the strategy, the overarching strategy of power, favors the ability of men to oppress women in a variety of ways, to control them, control reproduction. Controlling reproduction is to control power, particularly in pre-industrial societies. And I see this as very much a question of power rather than sexuality. And that's all I wanted to add. But we have lots of callers.
Yeah, we also have a comment from a male listener.
Go ahead.
Who writes, pander away to the poor, weak women that need help. Even your statement at the top of the show, female, in parentheses, feminist writers are threatened with rape. Oh, look at the misogyny. Yeah, well, male writers are threatened with murder or a beating. It's not a gender issue. It's a human issue. By taking female calls, you made it a gender issue. You have marginalized it. I think this sort of misses the point.
Well, it's an interesting perception.
I read a lot of political commentary online, online, written by both men and women. And
I read none online.
I know, because you're a Luddite.
Yes.
Speaking anecdotally, I see a lot more women when they make a forceful point, mm-hmm. Female writers, a lot more are threatened with violence and or rape than are men who make a forceful point. Male writers typically, and again, I'm painting with a broad brush here, usually there will be a rebuttal to the substance of the argument itself that was put forth. Far more often, I see women writers, instead of being critiqued on the merits of their argument, threatened with violence, often sexual violence. That's what I'm talking about. Yes, human beings doing violence to each other is a huge, huge problem. Always has been. But so is the problem of men either committing violence towards women or threatening it when women get uppity.
Okay, let's get some more calls.
Let's go back to the phone.
231-8187.
Kristen, good morning.
Oh, good morning. I just wanted to say that I do think that it's good that you guys brought up this topic because we do need male allies. And if feminism were to end from women only, then it would already be over. So I'm glad that men are having this conversation, whether everything's accurate or not. So thank you for that. And the other point I wanted to talk about was I would love to talk about compare quotes from the manifesto to people of power and to political leaders. That's another project that some friends of mine want to do.
From Rogers' manifesto?
Yeah.
Okay.
Just to take away this, like, well, it's just this one guy and, you know, that's it, and he was mentally ill, and that's the only issue on the table. And I think that comparing some of the things that he said to, you know, quotes from other people of power would be a very interesting side project.
Well, I feel like I'm jumping back into the 70s here, you know, actually, to the period where we all became aware of feminist issues, more aware than we were perhaps before. But I think I can see clearly that the ways in which women are dominated, controlled, and manipulated in our society and cross-culturally all over the world are very severe, are very strong. The most extreme forms are murder, disfigurement, and rape. But all of the cultures, all of the ways in which women are dominated are very significant and parallel the ways in which class domination takes place. That's all I wanted to say about that.
Yeah. And the other thing, you know, no one's really talking about the racism in his manifesto either, which I find very interesting. So you have the entitlement, the misogyny, and then this racist issue as well.
Mm-hmm.
So that there's a lot of layers to what he did for this one person. But I'm glad that the conversation is going on and still continuing. And I think it's really important to continue to evaluate all these things and how it plays out in our society.
Well, thank you. Thank you for the call. Definitely. And thank you for the thoughts. All right, 231-8187. We're looking for women callers. If you're a male, you can get us online.
Yes, you can. You can leave a comment at our show page on kbo.fm/TheAbe and Joe Talk Radio Show or on our Facebook page, facebook.com/Abe and Joe. Let's go to the phones. Frances, good morning.
Hi.
Hi.
I am concerned about the backlash that happened.
I'm sorry, concerned with what?
The backlash that happened.
Ah, the backlash.
Her. And I'm the mother of two sons and a daughter. And mm-hmm. I've seen them all go through their sexual identities and things like that. They're all grown now. And my sons have had friends who have been accused of sexual offenses who did not really, actually. They were young men experimenting also. And I would like people to remember women do like sex.
Oh, yes.
And they don't like it when they go to a party and nobody talks to them. So it's an issue bigger than all of us, really. I think when Abe was speaking about white privilege, I can see how the male concern about sex has caused a lot of racist laws in our country, because a lot of white men are afraid of black men, but or their prowess, as they call it. I am a little concerned, though, that everyone needs TLC. And to me, this is what this young man was missing in some kind of way. And he thought it was all about sex, and that's his mental health issue. And there's some argument to where maybe prostitution should be decriminalized, so that I was told by a woman years ago whom I knew who was a prostitute that every time they cracked down on prostitution, the rape cases went up. So I don't know if that's true or not.
Well, I don't know of any statistic that actually supports
bigger
that.
Than, this is an issue that everyone deals with, but I do not want it dismissed for a fact that women do not like sex, and women do appreciate being approaches, you know, being talked to.
Sure.
And,
yes, absolutely.
Being made towards them, and for somehow my concern is that the backlash will be that any young man, I mean, there's a lot of young men in prison for rape who did not really rape anybody. The laws will be used to further persecute people.
The data,
I don't want that to happen either.
Sure. The data suggests, though, that there's a lot more men who are not in prison who did rape people.
Well, that's probably true. And what happened in those situations is between the man and the woman. I don't know what happened. You know, I can't say. I've had experiences in myself where I probably could have pressed charges against someone. However, I was aware of their psychological issues that were going on with them at the time, and I did not, which I probably should have, you know, because they probably went and were weird to somebody else.
Yeah, I think
that if figures, it's a cultural issue, obviously. I just don't want us to be so vindictive like we get sometimes and lose the entire picture and just focus on men's behavior and not everything that's behind it.
Yeah, okay.
Okay,
yeah, thank you very much for the
interesting
call.
Point, but I want to make clear that we're talking about a cross-cultural phenomenon.
We are.
We're not talking about something that's unique to the United States or unique to Western civilization or unique to any place. It's common in all cultures, and it has to do with power. It doesn't have to do with sexuality. It has to do with control, and it is way past time to end this process and end this behavior. And I was very excited when the hashtag guess all women appeared and spontaneously and has taken off. It's a major, major online movement.
It is. And Francis made a couple of very good points. First of all, yes, people like to have sex, women too. And being approached, being flirted with is not necessarily in and of itself a bad thing.
No. Yeah. Well, it depends on the culture, but yes, in general.
It's when it gets entitled and when it gets violent.
Well,
that's when there's a problem.
The key is the notion of possession. The empowerment of men in almost all cultures to assume that they own women or they rent women or whatever that gives women less power than men.
Certainly. But let's be very clear. Are we saying that desire is off the table? No, desire is not off the table. No.
It's irrelevant.
It's not irrelevant.
It is irrelevant.
Oh, it's most definitely not irrelevant.
Desire is a phenomenon of all animal of all mammals.
Right.
So.
Right. What I'm saying, when we're having this discussion, we are not saying to men, it's wrong for you to go out there and desire somebody. No, you're right. That's common to all animals, like you said. Okay. Who's next, Steve? Valerie. Good morning.
Good morning. I'm really wondering about what this topic is and who should be talking about it. And you're a good example of not misogyny, but male dominance. Because,
well, yeah,
I haven't heard women talking too much, and you seem to go on and on at length about what your opinion's about this issue. are, and not that they're not valuable, but you did ask for women to
That's
call
true.
In.
Yeah,
so,
and here we are.
You should practice what you said.
Yeah, but here you are.
Here we are mansplaining. All right, go ahead.
And I do agree you have some good points, because they're points I would make also, and that it is, I've lived in different countries. I've lived in Africa, and I've lived in Asia, and this is not strictly an American white phenomenon, and I feel like I don't want to hear people calling in about their individual rape cases. I think we need to look at the broader picture and really not excuse men. I mean, the last caller is kind of typical of, well, we don't want to brush people with a bad stroke and then have a bad backlash. We're looking at something that's a huge phenomenon in the world, and it needs to be addressed for the kind of violence that it has practiced. And it's nice of her to want to think, well, you know, this is something that we should not overreact to. We haven't begun to react to it. And I don't really feel that bringing up this last individual who was mentally ill is a good person as an example of this. It's you know, that sort of detracts from the bigger picture, because it's cultural practices, it's cultural attitudes, and each culture has its unique way of expressing it. Some is more violent than others. And it may, but, you know, what goes unreported in other countries is another issue. We have no, you know, it's the tip of an iceberg what gets in the press. So that's my comment.
Okay, well, thank you for your comment. I want to respond to a couple of things. First of all, there's no choice on a couple of things. We take on a couple of things. Pardon me?
We have heard your opinion, but I thought you were inviting women to give their opinion.
Yeah, we are.
I didn't realize it was your talk show and that you were talking to each other and expressing your opinion about it. You've done that repeatedly.
Okay, fair point.
Thank you.
All right, thanks for the call. Who's next, Steve? Cheryl, good morning.
Yes, good morning. I don't like starting the call this way, but I feel the first time in listening to you all these years, Abe, you are an airhead today, and I'm going to, it's not to be laughed at, it's something serious. Valerie
okay,
made
let's hear
excellent
it.
Points, mm-hmm. And I am going to contradict one thing she said, and that is this, that I do have a quick personal story. Several years ago, an individual, a male, I had known him as a young man. We were only friends, completely a friend, and absolutely in every way not a sexual relationship. For some reason, he started calling me after a number of years and continued to do so, started sending me cards, etc. I began, as he was calling me, and I began to tell him, please don't call anymore. I felt threatened. I finally went to the Clackamas County Sheriff's Department. I spoke to a man, and he came, a deputy, and he came and we talked outside on the lawn, and he was beginning to take the report. And I explained to him what this man was doing and that I was getting very afraid. And he said this to me, you must be one of those women who men find attractive. Hmm. I about dropped dead, but I needed the help. So I pursued it, and I went into the office where he eventually called the man. He's so soft-pedaled talking to this gentleman. I don't know if that was a tactic, which I think it was not. It was extremely unsettling. I had to eventually have my phone tapped by the telephone company, which there is a method to do that, to get him to stop. He finally stopped for a period of time, and that he started up again, and I finally confronted him about this, that he was absolutely never to call me or have contact with me again. It was a very difficult situation. The Sheriff's Department reacted in a very irresponsible way. I think if I had decided to do so, I could have probably called a case against the sheriff's department for saying such an outrageous thing. Women have a difficult road with this particular topic. It is not something to be laughed at, and I will continue, I'm sure, the rest of my life to have concerns. Recently, I was going to buy a car, and the fellow said to me right away, "Are you married?" I about dropped dead. I don't know what is wrong with you, man, but you guys have got to stop thinking with your pants and think with
right.
your head.
Well, yeah, that's what we've been talking about, I think.
Okay, well, I really thank you very much. We will take up this topic again. I will not be deterred by the fact of my sexuality. We will continue to argue on the question of misogyny, and we really are glad to have done this show. Thank you very much. Stay tuned to KBOO.
Disorder from the sirens night and day, from the fires of the homeless, from the ashes of the gay. Democracy is coming. USA.
KBOO Community Radio is proud to co-sponsor the Sex Workers film series. June 7th at 7 p.m. will show Meet the Falkins. Louise and Martine Falkins are identical twins. For over 50 years, they were working as prostitutes. They freed themselves from the control of their pimps, ran their own brothel, and set up the first informal trade union for prostitutes. Meet the Falkins is a portrait of these women. Again, that's June 7th at 7 p.m. at the Clinton Street Theater, 2522 Southeast Clinton Street, Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
This KBOO program has been made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Redirect Guide, committed to promoting progressive regional businesses based upon the values of sustainability, localism, and social justice. Complete business directory and resource guide at redirect.com. Good morning. You're listening to KBOO Portland. It's 9:01. Here's what's coming up this morning on KBOO. First on alternative radio, investigative journalist David K. Johnston speaks on societal impact of inequality. At 10, it's Air Cascadia, headlines, interviews, and commentary with Chris Andre. At 10:15 on Flashpoints, reaction to Secretary of State John Kerry's advice to Edward Snowden to man up. Also, Matt Roth's